Hey guys, welcome back. Another episode of Casual Critics. Episode 5.
Episode 5.
It doesn't even feel like we've done that many. It's weird.
So, yeah, I know. It's been 5 weeks?
I know.
No way.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
We're at episode 5.
That's crazy to think about.
I know.
We've been doing this for 5 weeks already.
It's crazy. But
wow.
It's your Red Grove boys, Jacob and Josiah.
Hey.
What's up? What's up? We're doing this again. Right off the top. We just saw Emma with a period at the end because that's how it's done. That's how it is.
Oh, I guess so. Yeah.
It has a period at the end of the.
That's true.
That's that Jane Austen re-envisioning. What did I say? Am I wrong?
No, you got it.
Okay. Why did you look at me like I was crazy? What the hell? Make me second guess my whole life just now.
I had to make you think about it.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Okay. And I want to challenge ourselves a little bit here. We should give our overall feelings in one sentence at most. Just consolidated, very brief overall feelings about the movie. It could be, it doesn't even have to be like a coherent sentence. It just could be like a couple.
We would start on this one too.
Words.
This is hard. This is harder for me for some reason. So.
So yeah, we'll give our very brief overall feeling. We're gonna do. Jacob's gonna take a sip. We're gonna do an overall feeling. We'll give our rating, and then after the rating, we'll do full spoiler talky talks. So, overall feeling for me, good over there?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay,
I'm waiting on you.
I don't know. It's very, human, more human than, I think a lot of period pieces of the past feel.
Yeah.
That's technically a sentence. So I'll stop there.
I don't know. Oh, this is only rated PG. I didn't even realize that. I guess that makes sense though. Is it bad to say I don't know how I feel?
Not necessarily.
It's hard for me to have a film where I'm so neutral on it.
Yeah.
I'm extremely neutral on this movie.
Hmm.
I don't absolutely love it, but I also don't hate it. I don't know. So, my sentence will be, I don't know. Sorry, usually I'm better about stuff like that, but for some reason, this movie, I can't really decide how I feel about it.
Okay.
Maybe if I talk through it, I'll feel better about
sure.
it.
Sure. Okay, so on that, what would you rate this then?
7.
Really? Okay, yeah. I would give it a 7 too.
Yeah, given middle of the line.
That's funny, given how I think our feelings are much different on it, but we have
probably.
The same.
I still
have the same score.
I still enjoyed it. I don't know. Like I said, I enjoyed. Yeah. There's parts of it that I enjoyed a lot, and there was parts of it I didn't.
So are you not? You're not a big period piece person?
No, I love period pieces. Little Women was fucking phenomenal.
Oh, okay. Then what do you think is holding you back on this?
No, it's not. It's not the. It's not really a. It's not a bad thing. It's just a personal thing. It's like it was a very slow burn, and it lasted longer than I feel like it needed to last.
Really?
But maybe that's keeping. I haven't read the book, so yeah. I can't really say how the book. Plays out and stuff like that.
Sure.
I thought, I don't know. There's a couple of parts where I thought it lulled a little much, like a little too much. I feel like they could have condensed a lot of it down. It's just over 2 hours and I feel like they could have trimmed off of like 10, 15 minutes off of it. But that's just me personally. There was a couple of bits where I'm just like, there's not much happening right now. And I feel like we can move on faster than it.
Hmm.
But I mean, I still enjoyed it. Like I still had like, it's a very unique style of movie because it's unique style of comedy that we don't get anymore. Like it's very that like classic style of comedy. Like it's more in like quips and subtle nuances and stuff like
it's
that.
English as hell.
It is very, very English.
Yeah.
Old school English comedy. Mm-hmm. It reminded me a lot of, Shakespeare in Love.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you have seen that before.
Most
or not.
Of it, yeah. Yeah, a long time ago, but yeah,
it reminded me a lot of that. The things I loved most about this movie, which I think most people are gonna love about this movie, is the cinematography mm-hmm. is absolutely gorgeous. It is so well done. Mm-hmm. I love, like, they have a lot of emphasis on the camera following the main character, Emma, mm-hmm. Even going to the extent of cutting people out of shots mm-hmm. just to keep the focus on her, which I like a lot. Like, there was one shot in specific where one person is sitting and you see the top of her head in the frame.
Who?
It was the big lady, the little lady that she doesn't like, that she thinks is annoying or whatever.
Yeah,
they were in that, like, cloth shop or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And she was sitting, and you could just see the top. Yes. You could see, like, her hairline.
Yes.
And Emma was in full view. Mm-hmm. And then she gets up and is on the right side of the frame. But then Emma starts moving to the left, and the camera pans to mm-hmm. the left, cutting off the other character, which I loved. I thought that was super interesting.
Yeah.
And the other thing I loved about this movie that it probably will get some Oscar nods for is the production design is mm-hmm. amazing, and obviously the costume design. Any period piece like this is obviously going to have costume design.
Yeah.
But I thought the production design was amazing. It is a super colorful film, but it's like that. It's very like pastel colors, mm-hmm. which I like a lot. So that's what I liked about it a lot. I think just what hurts it personally is that it tends to drag on in moments that don't need to be dragged on to.
Hmm.
But yeah, that's just my overall thoughts on it.
That's really,
technically it's gorgeous and I love it. And she, and Anya Taylor-Joy kills it.
Mm-hmm.
She does a really great job as the lead too.
So. It's really funny that you say that it drags, because I feel like there was no point for me that it felt like anything was lingered on more than it should have. Really? I feel like for the probably small handful of period pieces that I've seen, mm-hmm. especially older ones, mm-hmm. have so much dead air in them. And this one felt so fresh. And I think a lot of that has to do with the way that they took the story and flipped it, because this movie to me feels nothing like a novel movie that like follows a book at all.
It's faster than
me,
a normal novel.
This
movie
felt like mm-hmm. the way that the story progressed and the way that the characters were shown was almost as though this person came up with this movie themselves.
Mm.
It felt so fresh to me. And I love that because of it. And like you were talking about, the way that the camera is completely loyal to the character
Emma.
I love
it. I love it so much.
It was great.
It's such a cool thing.
Because it does it so much to the point, and it's so fluid that it doesn't break that rule ever. And so you don't even think about it. Even like, of course we're going to follow Emma. The movie mm-hmm. is called Emma. It's completely about her. It only makes sense for the camera to behave that way.
Yeah. And I think, another cool trick that they do a lot in this movie is they have very condensed shots.
Mm-hmm.
Like pretty much you only see the characters in the shot. That's it. You mm-hmm. know, there's not like a lot of like, they don't do a lot of wides or extreme wides and stuff like that. There was occasional, like, obviously you're setting up the scene and, you know, your master shots or whatever. But mm-hmm. for the most part, they kept really tight on the characters, which I thought was really cool. Cause obviously it's a character piece. That's, mm-hmm. that's all it is. You know, that is what it is. It's a character piece. It's a character romance. And I thought that was really cool that they really emphasized on the characters' emotions, faces. There's a lot of close-ups in this movie, a lot of like really confined shots, which I enjoyed a lot too.
Well, and I think that kind of goes along with how they were kind of showing, not royalty, but like kind of rich people behavior in that time in a new way that a lot of other period pieces don't.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of like Bill Nye kind of like sneering at different things.
I love that man.
you don't get from other period piece characters. I feel like there was a lot of like disdain for the culture and stuff that I think was also very fresh. Like
mm-hmm.
you get characters who are just prim and proper, and they speak the way they speak, and they're going to completely follow the rules, and it's like they are indebted to the way of that living.
Sure.
But characters like Emma and what's her best friend's name? I forget his name. Mr.
Dirty
Mop Top
Boy. Oh, Knightley?
Yeah.
Mr. Knightley?
Mm-hmm. And Bill Nye's character, there's a lot of, like, kind of seeing a situation and hearing, kind of reacting to the other, mm-hmm. the way that, mm-hmm. like, the minister's wife,
mm-hmm.
kept doing a bunch of, like, weird prim and proper shit.
Yeah.
And everyone else is like, what the fuck, bitch?
It's that subtle comedy that is very unique to this, well, and to
it's,
this film.
It's cool to get that kind of, like, in-world satire, almost, to like have the characters themselves be like, yeah, this is stupid, like, mm-hmm. why are you acting like this,
yeah,
to kind of give you that idea that even people of that time thought that way too, so sure. like not everybody was just super cool with this idea that this is how culture needs to be and this is how you act and stuff, like there were still people that were outliers.
Yeah. And the story is pretty, I mean, the story's a pretty tried and true romance, I feel like. There's no twists. There really wasn't anything that I didn't expect to happen in it. Maybe that's the other reason why I felt it, like,
I don't know,
slowed down at points and stuff where I'm like,
I think they kind of led you on in some ways because there was a lot of miscommunication between the Harriet character and Emma.
Sure.
And so, like, them both being into Whitman or whatever. Mm-hmm. What was the name? I forgot again.
Knightley. Yeah.
I don't know why I keep wanting to call him Whitman. But yeah, they were like both into him and whatever. And having her like completely focused on trying to matchmake kind of puts you in an interesting perspective for all of the characters, because you can tell that she's very observant. And so, mm-hmm. she's watching everybody's like mannerisms and stuff. And so whenever they give you like a beat with her by herself, you can tell that she's thinking about what she's wanting to do with these people, because she likes to do that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I really enjoyed it. I think it was very, very unique, cool movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it's, I've just seen a lot of romances and
maybe
I'm a big romance guy. So I've seen a lot of these tropes, and I've seen a lot of films end the way that this one did, where it's like, oh, I betrayed the friend, but oh, it's okay in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is fine. I mean, like, there's nothing wrong with having happy endings, because obviously the movies we've been seeing in the past like couple months have not had a lot of happy endings.
It was good to, for me, because I haven't seen a movie as, I guess, traditional in this sense.
It's very traditional.
I haven't had a plot like that in a while. Mm-hmm. So for that, I guess it was just refreshing for me.
Sure.
Because it was like, shit, what was that other movie that we watched where it was also a book? And she was writing
Little
a story.
Woman?
Oh, is that what it was? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that movie's, comparing Emma to Little Women, like, Little Women was absolutely phenomenal. I would watch Little Women 2 times before I'd watch Emma again.
I love Little Women, but I hate the ending.
I love the ending.
I think it's bullshit.
I really enjoy the ending.
But that's why I liked the ending for Emma so much.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know. I guess
traditional ending.
I guess so. I'm just a sucker for guy gets the girl kind of stuff.
Sure.
Like, if it doesn't happen, so, then I'm like, what the fuck? Even
I am,
like,
too. But I think I think Little Women was a nice change, and I think it pounded home what the movie was about too.
Yeah. Yeah. That made sense. Well, although, not to completely talk about that movie when it's not even the right podcast for it, but her not getting married would have stuck to her guns. She would have been fully an antagonist.
She didn't get married. We've gone over this.
Okay, we're not going to talk about it.
I've looked up what the director said about it and everything.
I don't care. It's bullshit.
She doesn't get married.
It's bullshit. Anyway, 7 out of 10, Emma.
We're going to have a Little Women podcast movie where we fucking talk about this ending.
We're not talking about that movie anymore. No, fuck it.
All right.
I don't have any.
7 out of 10, moving on.
I don't have anything planned here, but games, do we want to talk about anything notable that we've been playing? Or
I mean, I'm a week into Box VR. I know I talked about
that's true.
I talked about that I was going to start doing that.
Yeah. You actually have it set up correctly.
Yeah, because the first night we set it up, it like didn't work at all, and we were super far away from stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, now that I've figured it out and stuff, I really enjoyed it. It's definitely a workout.
Yeah,
it's definitely very interesting. And then the other thing is I started streaming again for the first time in a couple of years. Mm. So just playing Dead by Daylight on stream, just because why not?
Yeah.
So that's always fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I beat Fallen Order. I can't remember if I said that already.
I think you beat it, yeah.
I've kind of been in a show hole, but for games. Because I haven't known what to play.
I've been watching a lot of shows, as always.
So. I am so behind on so many things. I really ought to just commit and
binging Chuck right now, man.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, season 4.
Nice.
Powering through it. I'm going to finish it this time. I've never finished it. I always got to the end of season 3 because it's such a good ending. Mm-hmm. Like, they could have ended the show at the end of season 3.
Yeah.
But, of course, they didn't. And I'm watching season 4. I haven't seen any of this stuff, so this is going to be very interesting. I love the show, though. It's so good. It's quirky. It's quirky action, which is really nice. Like, it's... Mm-hmm. It's just Zachary Levi being Zachary Levi, so it's perfect.
Nice. But
yeah, that's that. I mean, and Hunters. Hunters on Amazon.
Yeah, that does fantastic. Look really good. See, there's like 20 fucking things I need to watch.
Mm-hmm. And all the CW shows.
And then, at the end of the day, I'm just going to sit down and I'll be like, I don't know what to watch. I'm going to watch Funhouse TV.
Yeah, exactly.
There's too many things.
You need to start binging through some stuff.
I know. I need to just pick one.
Mm-hmm. What else you got for me?
Not much else. I mean, I guess we could kind of hint at that we may start playing Fortnite because we were talking about that yesterday.
Yeah.
And Jesus Christ, that game has been through so much stuff and so many changes.
I haven't played it since season like consistently since like season 3 or 4, and then I stopped for a long time. Now it's on
chapter two, season two. Yeah.
So.
But there's like PvE stuff, and
there's a ton of stuff with it.
It's blowing the fuck up. Mm-hmm. I played it a bunch last night, and I think
it's really slick. It's really clean.
Very dope. I'm way into it. I'm surprised that I'm as into it as I am, because I thought I was pretty much after I played it for like a week or two when I got my Switch, I was like, I'm probably never gonna play this again. And I've like kept up with it, like saw that there was like mechs and all this crazy shit, but yeah, I don't know, man. This new installment's like really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. I dig it.
But yeah, I don't know. That's about it. Maybe you'll see us stream that at some point, or I don't know, something. We'll see something.
Yeah,
maybe.
We'll play with it.
But yeah.
All right.
I will hand it off to you, sir.
All right. I got some stuff that we can probably talk about for a little bit. So
great.
We can pad this out a little bit. Because this was kind of like a pretty big week in entertainment. I feel like there's some like big news
bits. Yeah.
Since the last time we talked to you guys, the first really big thing, and this is very topical, so this will definitely tell you what time of the year, or time and year this is coming out.
Yeah.
So coronavirus, everybody knows that this is a really big thing right now. The first film impacted by coronavirus, is No Time to Die. So earlier this week, they pushed back No Time to Die from April to November because of projected sales of tickets for No Time to Die. And also for like safe, they say for safety reasons that they don't want a lot of people getting like, you know, being in the theater and getting sick and stuff, because then you know it's going to be a massive release and there's going to be a lot of people in theaters.
Yeah.
The reason I think they're doing it is because they're not going to get any sales in China, because China has closed down 70,000 of their movie theaters.
Oh, shit.
And China is a massive market for Hollywood.
Yeah.
Especially for action films.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that they're not going to get any ticket sales, they're hoping that pushing it back to November will let the coronavirus kind of cull itself and kind of go away, hopefully by that point. That way they can gain all their money back.
Because
right now
really
they're like 30 something million in the hole.
Yeah.
Because of it. But this movie's going to make hundreds of millions.
Huge fucking Bond
especially,
film.
Yeah. The last Daniel Craig movie, the 25th Bond movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a big deal. You know, I think it's very interesting to see, to start seeing stuff like that kind of take an impact on other markets that you really wouldn't expect it to take an impact on. Obviously, we've seen, you know, the stock market has been the lowest. Last week, it hit the lowest it had since 2008, since the housing market crash. And now it's kind of leading into Hollywood. And there's a lot of people have been talking about it and seeing. And I'm curious to see if this is going to start happening with more movies as, you know, this coronavirus kind of spreads, because it's not going to stop anytime soon.
Right.
It's only kind of just beginning.
Yeah.
And where we're at in Kansas and Missouri, we're starting to get our first couple cases starting to sprout.
Yeah, it's getting
up.
closer.
So I think it's, I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens forward. The Marvel has put out statements about talking about, they're not going to touch Black Widow's release date. They're keeping it in May. They're not going to do anything with it. I haven't heard about any other movies in the next coming months moving their releases, probably just because they can't afford to.
Mm-hmm.
Because moving your release date is going to, you know, you paid all these movie theaters to to have your film in them.
That's crazy. Yeah. I didn't know that that was happening.
Mm-hmm.
That's nuts.
Yeah, it's crazy how much of an impact that this is making now.
Yeah.
That's just completely changing now the film industry, too. You know, making people make different decisions and stuff. And I think it's going to be very interesting to watch and see in the next coming months to see what else is going to kind of happen. And if other films follow suit or, you know, push their releases maybe even a year, because you can't release everything at the end of the year, because then you're not going to make any money because you have other movies that people are going to want to see.
Competing with, yeah.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of competition come fall.
Yeah.
So
that's wild.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty crazy.
Weird. What a weird time in the year in the world that we're living in right now.
That something that big is just kind of changing society,
really,
and changing economics as much as it is. But on a lighter tone news, kind of maybe happier, maybe not, just kind of depends on your opinion about it and what you feel like it is. I'm sure you've already seen these. The Batmobile pictures have been released this week.
That's the only note that I have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Bat. I knew we got to have like Batwatch.
Oh, we have to. Because
it's constant.
Yes.
How much? And Matt Reeves specifically put this out himself too, which is crazy.
Did he really?
Yeah, he's the one who put these pictures out. Yeah, it's crazy.
Wow.
And it's kind of interesting because you can kind of see the suit a little more.
Yeah.
In these two.
Yeah.
It doesn't look that much different than what we've
see
seen.
The full chest.
It's not as bulky, which is nice. And that could be because of the padding and stuff like we spoke a week ago. But Matt Reeves released three pictures showing the new rendition of the Batmobile. Thoughts, feelings from our Batman resident?
I'm pretty into it. I think it's very interesting to see this because it kind of solidifies the style even more so now.
I think that's probably why he released it.
Yeah, because it kind of gives you a better look into the tone of what this movie is going to be like.
Yep.
It feels like to me, from all the things that we've been seeing, from how the bike looks, how this car looks now, how the suit looks, that it's in some ways even more realistic Batman, more so than Bale's.
Yep.
And I think it's because of that, it's even more like tactical and stuff, which I think is really interesting. But this car also looks super old school, which again makes me wonder what fucking time period this is.
I can't decide.
Between the bike,
like 90s maybe?
I don't know. I kind of wonder
like mid to late 80s, 90s?
I kind of think it's maybe like 80s. Or
it looks
farther.
Very late. Yeah, it could be late 80s.
Because if you
what those motorcycles look
between the between the bike and this Batmobile, it looks very 80s.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. This makes me excited though, because I love how exposed it is with like the lights in the back and stuff. You can see like the engine, which is like super. It makes me think of Batmobiles of the past.
Yeah, it's like they mashed a like supercar with a muscle car.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah.
It's really cool. It's really cool. I dig it a lot too. I think it's a cool take that they're putting on it. It's not like a tank.
Right.
Anymore, which is nice to have because I feel like that's so unnecessary.
I know.
And like you said, it grounds it more in reality now. It's less ridiculous and more practical.
Yeah. He just got a car and souped it up.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
He didn't get some fucking crazy thing built
exactly
for him. So, about it.
Yeah. So am I. I think it looks pretty good. And to say, it seems like most people feel pretty good about it.
Yeah.
There's a couple people, obviously, that are going to be like, but I dig it a lot. And and like kind of seeing the suit a little bit more, I kind of dig the suit a little bit more seeing it on
on Pattinson. I think it's Pattinson. Yeah.
I dig it a lot more because it fits his body type a lot more than the things on the arms are still a little odd to me, but
I wish they were fins, man. Yeah. It really upsets me that they're like straps, but I think that's the only complaint I really have.
Yeah.
The car really makes me think about my favorite Batman, Batmobile, which is from, Michael Keaton's Batman.
Really?
Yeah. It's
1989 Batman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That Batmobile I had as a toy. And so it's like solidified in my brain as like the quintessential Batmobile car. Right,
yeah.
Which I think...
That's like the skinnier one, right?
It's
like long and skinny.
Yeah. And it's got like a little like...
It's got like jet engines.
It's got like a weird nipple in the front of it. Yeah. And fins in the back. Mm-hmm. It's just... It's so fucking cool. And it's so iconic.
All right. Ready for the next one?
Yes.
Okay. So this one is a kind of a mashup of two kind of entertainment mediums.
Okay.
So this is video game news and TV show movie news.
Hmm.
So the HBO is going to be doing a Last of Us TV series.
Oh.
This is the part that gets me so excited for it. The creator of Chernobyl is the one doing it.
Yo.
Sold immediately.
That's cool.
Because if anybody who's listening to this has not watched Chernobyl yet, what the fuck are you doing? Watch Chernobyl. I know Josiah still hasn't watched it yet. Chernobyl is probably the best TV show that came out last year. It is that good. So them putting that in his hands, yes. Mm. Yes.
Do you, yes. Is there any casting rumors or anything?
Nothing yet. People want... the guy that played Jamie Lannister to play Joel. And then the person to play Ellie, I can't remember her name. I've seen some fan casting and stuff like that, which they looked perfect for the part.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. That sounds really cool. And I think if The Witcher didn't do as good as it did, that this probably would not be happening this quickly. Because without the success of The Witcher,
we probably wouldn't have this. Yeah.
We wouldn't have more people being ballsy enough to do more video game adaptations.
Yeah.
Which also, if you haven't seen The Witcher and you like video games, you need to watch that too, Josiah.
Hey, I barely played that game. It's the main reason that I haven't watched it.
It's not based off the games anyway, so it's based off the books. It's very good. It's very, very good.
Yeah.
I was very impressed with it, yeah. And it had really good, reviews and stuff from people, like fans, at least fans love it.
Right.
I think that'll be another interesting thing that'll kind of start happening more. Video games are coming more and more into the mainstream, mainly because of streaming and stuff like that. I feel like streaming is kind of, and now the esports are starting to become a thing. I think, a lot of these, writers and directors and stuff are going to realize there's a medium that they can put into, you know, TV form, movie form, and make it successful. I think Sonic kind of is going to help with that a lot too.
Yeah.
Because Sonic has made a ton of money.
I have a thing. I don't know if it's on your list that's connected to Sonic or sort of. Uh-uh. I saw something. I don't have any fucking material, so this is a pretty weak news drop, but I saw something that was some people at Nintendo having talks about a animated Mario film. Yeah.
Who's going to do it or something?
Well, just at the prospects of like being interested in doing that.
I think it'd be a lot easier in animated than anything. I think a live action one would be a terrible idea.
But I can't tell if
they're going to do that, or are they going to want to try to connect it to...
I don't know. I mean, but so
I guess
far,
it's Sega and Nintendo too. Sonic
hasn't technically been connected to anything, and neither has Detective Pikachu. But people are looking at both of those movies as like exciting prospects to try and do like Smash stuff.
Yeah, to kind of branch off into... If they make an animated, it'll be a lot harder to do something like that, to kind of want to combine them and stuff.
I mean, maybe.
I'm just interested to see who does it.
Yeah.
I think that'll be the deciding factor. If like Netflix is doing it, or if, you know.
Although I think if they did it animated, I don't know that they would be super held back, because if it would make sense to completely animate Mushroom Kingdom, but then like in Odyssey, there's that place where there's people.
Mm-hmm.
New Dog City is humans,
mm-hmm.
and he's like not a human.
Mm-hmm.
So, there, I follow a Nintendo Instagram account. This is where I saw it. And it says, Miyamoto talks about meeting Illumination CEO and decision to make a Mario animated film.
Did it have to be Illumination? So do you know who Illumination is? Yeah, the Minion.
Yeah.
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 Did it have to be Illumination?
I mean, they have ties with them already, sort of. I mean...
Depends who they get to direct it, I guess. And look, depends who they get to write it. Because most... I'm not trying to dog on Illumination, but most of their writers...
Despicable Me 1 was not a bad movie. They took an idea and realized that they had a whole fucking franchise they could make and have ran away with it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're making a lot of money, so great. I don't want to see your fucking Minion shit everywhere. It's not for me. But it's Despicable Me 1 was a good movie that actually had heart in it.
Yeah, the rest are not good.
Well, they're just children's
movies. The Minion-specific movies are garbage.
Yeah.
We'll see who they tag to it, and I'll go off of that.
Right.
If they tag a decent director, if they tag decent writers on it, then maybe.
Lorax was really good.
Lorax was okay. A little slow for my taste.
The Grinch seemed pretty well received. I didn't see that, but yeah, no, I guess that's. I think
maybe I'm just being picky, but
I think it could be.
It's a big property.
It's not like fucking very Pixar would do that shit, though. I would be incredibly surprised.
No,
if they
Pixar
had them
is mainly original.
Right. I think Illumination
all original.
Is not surprise. It's not a surprising pick.
No, I guess not. But we'll see. And then the last one, which kind of can segue off of that, because this is also an animated thing that is going to be very interesting to see how. So Taika Waititi is set to write and direct two animated series on Netflix for Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. So one is pretty much going to be the base series. So it's based off the original book by Roald Dahl.
Yeah.
And so the first one's going to be pretty much just the book itself, I think. And then the other one is going to be based around the Oompa Loompas. So he's going to write and direct two animated series separate from each other based around that universe.
Interesting.
I thought that was very interesting, especially, I mean, Taika.
Taika's great.
And he's fantastic. So I have full confidence that these will probably be pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know. Has he done animated before? I'm trying to think. I'm sure he has, but
I don't know.
I can't think of what he has done. But with his comedy style, I think it's going to be fantastic.
Dude, a fucking Taika Charlie Factory movie?
Yeah,
that sounds
it'd be
amazing.
So interesting, yeah.
That
and like him
that
doing an original thing just based off of Oompa Loompas sounds super interesting
to me. I wonder what that would be like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that he's done. I don't know. Like Jojo Rabbit, Thor Ragnarok.
I didn't even read the whole thing. I guess there was a quote with this that saying, these two series are just the beginning. Matilda, the BFG, the Twits, and many other beloved doll stories are set to follow soon.
What the hell?
I don't know if they're all going to be animated or what, but or if Taika's going to do a lot of it or not.
I don't know.
That'd be very interesting to see.
Huh.
He's also he's a very busy boy right now because he's got Thor Love and Thunder, which is like, here's a small news snippet, I guess. Christian Bale's going to be a villain in it. Don't know what he's going to be or anything yet, but
yeah.
Did not expect him to be in a Marvel movie. He usually doesn't lean towards that kind of stuff, but hey, here we are.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see what his character is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool.
Yeah, So that's what I got for Jacob's news roundup. I don't know why I went southern there, but hey.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see animated stuff from Taika.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
All right, guys. Well, that is another edition of Casual Critics.